Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
So I've got some pre-recorded demo footage. You have seen some of this, you have not. I'm just going to do a little walkthrough and then we'll do some questions after that. I've got some actually additional footage that is not part of the B-roll in between there. That's some sort of like more secret-y stuff that we can show you as well. But yeah, let's get started.
Could you reintroduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, I'll do that right now. In fact, my name is Andrew Schuldeis. I'm the primary developer on the game. I've been working on it for about 3 years, mostly a solo project, but I've got some help from my friends that I will mention as we go through this little demo. So this is Tunic, an isometric action adventure where you walk through grass. Did you spend much time walking through this grass?
I sure did. I even came back to cut it down.
Yeah, good stuff. Thorough.
Good answer.
Yeah. It's everyone's favorite. So your primary goals are to explore the countryside, fight monsters, and find secrets. But in order to do that second one, fight monsters, we're going to need something to duo with, like a stick. And the way the inventory works is you hold down RB, and you pop open your inventory, and you can assign stuff to X or Y or B. I usually put my stick on X. Where did you put yours?
X as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. you probably also checked to see if it was a real video game by
smashing
the pots.
And then I rolled into the pots to see if they move.
Yeah, you did all the right things. you probably discovered that you could hold down left trigger to do this targeting, the circle strafe. You may or may not have noticed that it tilts the camera when you do it, so you spot secrets sometimes. We saw a bunch of weird glyphs like this scattered around the world. And you probably thought that's nothing, not worth paying attention to. And you continue to explore this ruined world. Ruined, lonely, full of secrets. The sort of game where the story, insofar as it exists, does not present itself super overtly. It's the sort of thing where you gotta, you know, look in the cracks, look in the corners, piece together what's going on. The music you're hearing is by a guy named Terrence Lee from Seattle, Lifeformed. He did the music for the Double Fine documentary, or Double Fine Adventure, or whatever it's called, as well as the game Dust Force. This enemy, when you attack it, is just going to retaliate, so you need to use a combat dodge, which is on A, in order to get it out of the way and land hits without taking too many yourself. Combat dodge just keeps you super nimble like this. And we're in the East Forest. There's a sword up there. We want to get our mitts on that, or our paws, I guess. Did you end up going in this cave? Yeah, you did. So you saw one of the types of secrets that are in the game.
I have no idea what it was when I picked it up, to be honest. It looks like a map or something.
Yeah, it is. It's a manual page for the video game that you're playing, hidden within the video game you're playing, sort of instruction booklet scraps that in some cases just give you mundane information like what the controls are and some extra stuff, but later on you're going to find maybe those have some more, you know, profound secrets about the world, and strategies and stuff. I want to take a seat. A checkpoint system, you know, hit that checkpoint, it's gonna respawn you there should you, you know, die to some terrible beast. Probably not this guy, not so terrible. Structurally, the world is not, we keep the demo sort of linear, but the actual game branches a fair bit. It's sort of an open world where you can, you know, I'm gonna go left instead of right. And, we try to make sure that people feel that they can, you know, they're actually exploring when they travel. But you might find, maybe if you went right there, that you started encountering monsters that you did not feel ready for. You know, these are doing too much damage. I'm not doing enough damage to them. So either you can soldier on with just your stick and you're going to have maybe a more challenging time, or you can explore and see if you can, you know, find this sword and make things a little bit easier on yourself. You know, when I'm doing playtesting, I want to make sure that everything is, you know, at least accomplishable with just the sword, maybe even with just the stick. So it's technically possible. You can do it if you're hardcore, basically. But if you're thorough and you want to, you know, look in all the corners, you're gonna maybe get an advantage. So sword, chopping down bushes, sort of traditional video game gating that we put in place just for the demo to make sure people go in and get that sword. But again, you know, maybe if you found your way past those bushes equipped with just your stick, you know, good luck. Mm. But you can do it. I believe in you. So, for instance, this spider is, you know, sort of timid, and you know, the reach of the stick is not super far. It also doesn't deal a lot of damage, and so you're not going to break its poise as easily and make it sort of play its flinch animation. But with the sword, you've sort of got more of a fighting chance. But we're missing an important part of this combat puzzle. That is the shield. The shield is on right trigger, and so you have this sort of directional defense thing. It can only take so many hits before you need to worry about like just taking a breather and letting your stamina refill. So you might have noticed that because left trigger...
Hello, sorry I'm late.
No worries. Because you've got left trigger as target and right trigger as shield, if you just like clamp down on the controller, you're going to do this sort of like turtle up and face the nearest threat, which is pretty useful. First, let's take a look at these monsters. So these ones here are pretty straightforward, but this one's got a shield, so we're going to use some, maybe that those manual pages that we saw earlier might allude to, say, a special technique where you hit dodge and attack at just the right time to get in behind that shield with a roll stab. Otherwise, you could come back later when you find a weapon that's, you know, a little bit more amenable for dealing with these enemies that have shields. Get some health potion. I don't know if you went up here and found these when you played.
I found the potion, but not the shield.
Okay. Oh, wow. Hardcore. Good stuff. Yeah, so you could you got to the end, basically. You got to the place where you're supposed to die without getting all the items. That's totally possible. You know, people's experiences are going to be a little bit different.
You're so good.
It's
crazy.
So here, we'll tap this friend a little bit, get its attention, and then you can see if we're holding our shield, we've got a little stamina bar representing how many hits we can tank into that shield. Wait a second, and it'll refill. But it's about deciding the right thing for the right situation. Maybe instead of doing the shield, we're going to dodge like that. You've got iframes at the beginning of your dodge, so you're invulnerable for a moment. You know, position yourself, get through those attacks. This is one of my favorite sounds in the game right now. By my friend Kevin. Kevin. Kevin's doing the audio design for this game and a number of other games, actually.
Yes, I run Power Up Audio in Vancouver.
Oh.
And we're an indie sound house with sound effects and music and voiceover for a variety of games. So, also on the showcase for actually Super Meat Boy Forever.
Yeah.
And recently we did Celeste and Into the Breach. Mm-hmm. Further back, Crypto Necronancer, Darkest Dungeon. So, a bunch of stuff.
So how did you guys connect? He reached out to you? Did you reach out to
him?
Through
a friend.
Yeah, okay. I think Marlon. And yeah, at that
you asked.
Basically, yeah, GDC, yeah, it was super good. So we just hit a checkpoint, which is good, because when you hit a checkpoint, it refills your flasks, basically, your potions. We've scattered these potions a little bit more liberally in the demo to help people along. Now we've got two, so we're probably ready for this next room, which is like the sort of final exam of the demo.
Just to equip the potions with the face buttons?
Yep, pop it up there. You can actually use it with A in the menu. I might change that, but you can in this demo. So this is check to see, do you understand how the targeting works? Do you know how to dodge and attack and use your shield? I'm sure you had no trouble.
I played pretty aggressively, I'll be honest.
Okay, good. Yeah, you didn't have a shield, you have to. No defense. And then at the end, as we found out, we want to let people know that there's more to it than just these little enemies. Sometimes you find yourself in situations where you're facing odds that are definitely not in your favor. It doesn't end super well, so a virtue rise. Squeamish. That's fine. Rated E for everyone. It's fine.
It's rated E for everyone.
Yeah, no official rating yet, but that's what we're shooting for.
Shooting for E.
Tunic. Yeah. So that is the footage that we have available for you in the B-roll,
okay.
Which is available here, but more conveniently, it's just part of the Xbox package that you all have access to.
Okay.
Next, we're going to show some footage that is not ready for the prying eyes
of
the public.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But is just it's nothing groundbreaking or anything. It's you're gonna see a lot of gray box texture. It's just letting you know a couple minutes showing some of the stuff that's like later on in the world. You know, some of the ways that we mix up the combat a little bit, make things a little bit more interesting.
Mm.
So, let's say you find yourself investigating the ancient underground reliquary of a race of frog people, like you do. Maybe you've got a reservoir of MP. That we're going to use in a couple of different ways. First thing we're going to do is we're going to use a short-range sort of stun on this frog. And that will sort of freeze it in place so we can get some hits in, but its friends are going to come. We're going to try and get it away. This wizard is harassing us with spells, so we're going to use our long-ranged attack to take care of it. But because both those items draw from the same, basically, MP pool, we need to use it judiciously, and sometimes we want to, use the environment, like, bait them into exploding some barrels so we can soften them up before finishing them off. Magic points, like, just a generic sort of, like, mana sort of, Sometimes you need to use those things in combination. So, for instance, here we have an enemy with this big axe, swings fast, swings hard. So what we're going to do is we're going to use this long-range lasso to bring it in close. We can use our short-range stun and land some hits. Also, sometimes there are attacks that you can parry. If you use your shield just right, you'll reflect an attack and put your enemy into sort of a stun state where you can get some extra hits in. Moment-to-moment decision-making in combat, as well as which items you're going to bring into a fight, is really important. But it's not entirely combat. Sometimes you're going to find yourself, exploring a wizard's tower and investigating their library in the hopes of answering some questions to some secrets. But instead you find a robot coffee table. Maybe a friend? Who knows? Here's an example of extremely handsome gray box default texture. I'll fix it at some point. And what game would be complete without a giant robot tank guardian? Ancient forces beyond comprehension defending powerful relics that no mortal fox was ever meant to find. Our majestic trailer.
Yes.
And then Phil talked about Halifax, which was surprising to me. Yeah.
We didn't know that actually.
Yeah. Canada in the house.
Yeah, we weren't you're all from Canada, right?
From Toronto, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's great. Halifax.
Well, you're from Vancouver, right?
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, perfect. So, here we go.
Nice. So we didn't see his rehearsal at all, so that was our first time seeing it, like what happened.
So great.
But we didn't even know when. Game was going up, actually. We had a gist, but not a solid deal. And then afterwards, when you mentioned it, Phil's mentioned just like, Halifax. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's me.
It's you. That's so exciting. Will I be able to talk to you on camera about the game for a TV show in Canada?
Oh, yeah. How do we want to handle this? Do we want to do that now, or do we have
a question? If you guys have a question, it's all good.
Yeah, how are you guys came up with a concept of Fox?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. What was the creative thought process? Yeah. Like, how'd you come up with it? What made you decide, like, I'm going to do this on my own, more or less?
Sure, yeah. That's
creative, background kind of.
That's a big question. So I worked in games for a while, making sort of casual hit-and-run games, and it was, like, kind of fun, but not super fulfilling. And so I did some stuff on the side, like game jam games, like Ludum Dare, that sort of thing, and really enjoyed it, and they did pretty well, and I had fun, and people started asking me, when are you gonna make a real video game? And I was like, one day, and then I turned 30, and was like, well, one day, one day is not going to be a day anymore. I'm just going to have spent my entire life making hidden object games. So I thought, if I don't do it now, I'm just going to, you know, have a lifetime of regret.
Yeah.
So I did it, and it was, you know, it was risky, but now here we are. You know, Phil saying, "Paul back on stage."
How many years later? Big. How long have you been doing this?
I'm 33 now, so okay, a little over 3 years.
Okay.
Do you have a date you're looking to hit? And anything about like Game Pass?
No, we don't have anything to say about Game Pass in particular. As far as release window, we're looking at least a year from now. That sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing solid. You'll know more when we're within the sort of 12-month range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Console only?
What's that?
Console only?
It is a Xbox console launch exclusive.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's okay to say another thing, though.
Sure.
That the part that is not console.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's on Steam. Okay. Simultaneously.
Sure.
Wishlist is now on Steam. But I highly recommend playing with a controller. If you're going to play with a controller, you might as well play it on a console.
Yeah.
If you're going to play it on a console, you're going to be playing it on Xbox.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, it has this like Link to the Past vibe.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
You definitely get a lot of like, hey, it's like Zelda, but there's a fox, which is totally understandable for sure. If there were to be like a line drawn gameplay wise between this and that franchise, it would be probably Zelda 1 is the most likely connection candidate. You know, you're dumped into a world. You know that there are a bunch of cool relics around. Let's go find them, as opposed to a more like linear. Here's a set of locks and keys. Here's a bunch of this is not the sort of game where you're going to go into a sort of clockwork puzzle dungeon and sort of solve this Rubik's Cube of a thing. You're not going to be pushing blocks around to form the portrait of a ghost so the ghost appears. You'd be like, not necessarily that sort of thing.
So the puzzles are more the puzzles are more like based in the world. It's on its own and not made specifically as puzzles.
Correct. That is a good
way. Optional keys that you can go back if you want, but you don't have to.
Sure. Yeah, cool. That's a good way of putting it. It's one of the goals in the sort of like abstract arty sense is to make it feel like it's in a place where you don't belong. And boy oh boy, nothing makes you feel like you're supposed to be there, like somebody saying, "Puzzle begin. You did it. Da 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 da. Here, have a prize.
Yeah.
Please proceed to room 2 and solve that puzzle."
Yeah.
So it's less that, and it's more like, yes, this is a ruined place that used to be majestic, and what happened here exactly? Oh no, there are giant monsters to fight.
Yeah, you started with the stick?
Yeah.
And then eventually you found the sword, so should I just throw away the stick and just stick with the sword, or just change it up
in that case in particular, the sword is mostly objectively better than the stick. However, I think the stick maybe comes out slightly faster, but the attack might appear slightly faster, and you can land more hits faster with the stick. And also the recovery time might be shorter. So those are like extremely subtle technical differences, but you're going to be doing way less damage with just the stick. So
and probably worth mentioning as well is that the demo, the playable demo in the showcase, and also just this playthrough here, this represents something of kind of a diminution of the time playing the actual game. It's just a general linear idea of what it feels like, just more stuff. So we had the stick for all of the components here, but playing the game for real, you have a stick for more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, a while longer, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's certainly,
it's sort of condensed.
So inspired by, is it fair to say it's inspired by games like Zelda then, or is that not accurate?
That is fair.
Okay, any other games that maybe you drew from?
Yeah, because the isometric looks really that, and Monument Valley was definitely on my mind early on, where I was like, isometric is super cool looking.
On that note, Bastion is, in my opinion, one of the best sounding indie games of all time.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
As a guy working in sound, it's kind of what I'm aiming for all the time.
Yeah.
So it's fair to say it's inspired by Zelda, that's it.
some degree.
Yeah, for sure. And a bunch of other things, like people...
They kind of seep into your subconscious while you've been playing games, right? Like, things you love, you just pick up.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, like everything, it's a synthesis of everything that I've ever played, basically. But those things definitely are at the front.
Working on the sound, how was it like to pick like the right sound effect for the game?
So you guys collab? We're still, like, really early, so he's like, this is one of the best sounds in the game. Like, it's not a very large pool to choose from right now. Yeah, I mean, as far as like creative direction on sounds, it comes down to kind of saying what's happening visually in gameplay and how we kind of find parallels and sound to match that. So with kind of how soft the visuals are. We don't want hard edges, we don't want any jarring starts unless it's for gameplay reasons, like for design reasons. If there's like tailouts, it should be smooth, or like ASMR thing, right? Like it should be, in general, a lot of curves in the sound, so things like when you hit something, it was like, it's kind of hit, as it was like, and that's more of a cartoony kind of like socket face kind of punch. Right? Yes. We don't want that. That's not what this is. That's like a Cuphead.
Yes, for sure.
But this game is not Cuphead.
The name. What's it mean? Is it the name of the character? Is it something we discover as we play?
It is not necessarily the name of the character. That's not the case. Whereas discovering something along the way, I think it's safe to say that there's, a light touch with the story, but people who want to investigate a little bit might start to understand why we picked this name as you go. It used to be called something else a while ago. But
you say what that was? Or?
Yeah, it was called Secret Legend, which is a terrible, terrible name.
It's hard to stand out with a name. Like,
yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah. It's too long.
Right. It was the just the project name, and it did not stick in people's heads at all. So this is short, it's snappy, it's kind of cute, it's fun to say, and there may be some secret reasons why it's sort of appropriate.
Took you a while for the change?
Yeah, it was a long time. There was it's hard to say exactly how long it took hour-wise, but definitely by the time we decided, there was a document that was about a year old called Secret Legend is a Bad Name, and it just had pages and pages and pages of terrible suggestions. And eventually we were pouring through it. It was the name change became official at E3 last year. And we were just like, we need to decide what this is going to be. And we saw Tunic, and we're like, actually, that's not terrible. Mm. Yeah, let's do that. And then realized, this actually could be really appropriate in some ways. Let's do it.
So you said it's going to be discovered. Is it discovered through the game, or is it discovered through like the hardcore fans that know about the game's development? Or is it something that someone who like knows nothing about until the day it comes out and just plays the game?
Oh yeah, it's not some like meta secret or anything.
Okay,
like
I didn't know if it was like okay.
No, it's not my middle name or anything like that. That just like exists outside the game.
Micah just wants to know if you can find an achievement for it somewhere in the game.
Achievements come last.
Okay.
Unfortunately for me, that's like step 300 of 301. Devs never have anything to say about the FIFA.
Okay, alright.
That's true. I haven't really thought much about that at all.
That's literally true. Yes.
How was it seeing your game on the big screen during the press conference?
Super weird. Super weird. It was, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but we did not know, we did, we were Canadians, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this already. Yeah, didn't know when it was going to happen, that he was going to mention it. It was landing in Los Angeles, like, taxiing in, being like, wow, it's hot here. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I'm in Los Angeles, what am I doing? I sort of hit it once. It was, super exciting.
So amazing.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.